Welcome to the Flipside Podcast, where today we are discussing the Gratitude Guide. Thanksgiving is rapidly approaching, and every year our church, Crestview Bible Church, produces a gratitude guide to help us meditate on the glories that we have in the gospel. So we're going to look at the history behind it, how you might be able to use it, and then just how this ideally should, we're going to walk through the guide and how it can inflame your heart to gratitudes towards Christ. So hope you enjoy the conversation today.
Hi, and welcome to the Flipside Podcast, where our tagline is, we explore the underbelly of Crestview Bible Church, and that we is you and us together. And I'm your host, Andrew. I'm sitting here, as always, with Phil Auchscher, the pastor here at CBC Hutch. And we are joined today by Luke, our international partner, our local exhorter, and we're glad to have him as well. So, gentlemen, how are you doing this morning?
Great. Anticipating an exciting Thanksgiving season. So that's kind of what we're thinking about this morning. We should actually have carved a turkey for the middle of this table. That would have made it a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
What are your good Thanksgiving memories in Hutch? You were talking about something before we got on air.
Well, I actually have some very fond memories of Thanksgiving in South Asia. So in South Asia, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Hopefully our audience knows that this is an American holiday, not a global holiday. So they have no clue, but they do work for international companies, so they get the holiday off. So they're thinking, Thanksgiving, what in the world holiday is this? So we would open up our home, and we would there was one Thanksgiving we had 50 people in our tiny little apartment.
Wow. Do they still do stuffing there?
We would actually ask one of our churches to have a care package, and they would like stuffing in there. They would put
turkey.
Unfortunately, you had to just fry chicken, right? So
it's still a bird. It's,
yeah, right. We would put, you know, whole chickens in the oven and feed everybody there. But yeah, it was great because we would tell people in the room, hey, what are you thankful for? That's a tradition. But we would inform the believers in our church and say, you're not going to be thankful for anything but Jesus. So you're not allowed because this is a great gospel opportunity for them to hear from not just me, but several others in the room, their own testimonies of why they're thankful for Jesus. So
now, I know from South Asia that the people grew fond of Julie's ability to wield the sweets on them. Was she able to make like a pumpkin pie or?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. And in fact, actually their favorite dish was not the desserts. It was, for some reason, everybody always came every year after year for the green bean casserole.
Wow.
So, you know,
I thought you were going to say like cranberry out of the can.
No, it was the green bean casserole with with the French fried French onions on top. Yeah.
It's a delicacy.
Apparently over there. So, because they're used to their veggies being very spicy. So is like almost like a creamier version of, and it's almost, once you undo the French onions, it's almost like a curry.
Yeah, sure.
So they loved it.
Makes sense. Yeah. Good stuff. In Hutch, I always think of I almost said Halloween parade, Thanksgiving parade, which kind of triggers Christmas is starting. And it's always the Saturday before our church-wide Thanksgiving dinner. So this year, I think the date is the 19th would be the Saturday where that parade will happen downtown. And so it's kind of like the first refill of candy that the kids have gotten since Halloween. You know, so they want to be at that parade. They want to load up. It's going to be good times for them. And of course,
your kids' candy don't last that long.
Yeah, I know. I don't ration it. So that's probably part of the problem. So yeah. So today we're trying to talk and think through all things Thanksgiving. And kind of as we're jumping into this, we're going to produce another Thanksgiving guide or a gratitude guide for our people. And that'll come out on, what's the week? The 13th. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yep.
So, usually you're new to this, but yeah,
it's usually a 10-day guide,
right?
So it would start the Monday, 10 days before Thanksgiving, and then end on Thanksgiving Day, right?
Yeah.
So tell us how did this originate? Like, how long has Crestview been doing a gratitude guide, and how did it come about?
Right. So I did my best to do research on this, and it probably predates all this, but I know one time I bought like a gratitude guide from an actual like publishing house and then distributed that. I think that was the first one that we ever did. But we've been doing this pretty consistently, at least in recent memory. So I know for sure back into like 2016, but I think it was predating that. And part of what drove that was a desire to, in a sense, redeem it from Americana, you know. So yeah, there's a lot of great things that, you know, living in our country, we love about Thanksgiving and all that tradition. But I wanted to infuse that as dwellers of a better country to come, I wanted our eyes to be there, rooted in Jesus. So the Gospel Primer, many of you might know, by Milton Vincent, he talks about how the more absorbed I am in the gospel, the more grateful I become in the midst of my circumstances, whatever they may be, and kind of appeals for people that when I look at any circumstance that God apportions me, I'm first grateful for the wrath I am not receiving in that moment. And secondly, I'm grateful for the blessings that are given to me instead of his wrath. This two-layered gratitude disposes my heart to give thanks in all things, and it also lends a certain intensity to my giving of thanks. Such a gospel-centered gratitude glorifies God, contributes to peace of mind, and keeps my foot from the path of foolishness and ruin. And it was kind of that trigger in my mind that, oh yeah, man, the gospel says something so great to us that we ought to be abounding in thanksgiving all the time. So that kind of led us to think through how we could serve this year. But
you mentioned to rescue us from the American ideals of Thanksgiving, because everybody in the world wants to be thankful, right?
Yeah.
And so we're told by society, hey, thankful for family, thankful for shelter and, you know, home, all these things. But you want us to center on a bigger reality of being thankful for,
right?
Of what Christ has redeemed our soul from death and delivered us from the domain of darkness, bigger realities than that. So you want us to almost deliver from that. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think those first few years, maybe 5 years ago, we tried to center in all those works that Jesus has done, like, so, and use it as a teaching piece. So we talked about justification and glorification and sanctification and propitiation and expiation. And so we tried to have that where every day we were thinking about a term like that and reveling in what Jesus has done. And then I forgot what we did last year. Do you remember off the top of your head?
We did that song, God is So Good. And we talked about the different refrains from that song.
That's right. Okay. How does the refrain go? Do you remember that? God is so good.
We are called.
You're so good.
You're loved.
Yeah, right.
Adopted,
that's right.
Things like that.
Yeah. So something like that, that's real tangible. And so the goal is that this would just be something that you could use in this 10-day season to center your thoughts on the gospel, so that when Thanksgiving Day comes, of course you're thankful for all your family, and of course you're thankful for a meal and all the other blessings that are in your life. But what's undergirding all that and the foundation for all that is what God has done for you through his son. And so that's your thought when you're waking up that Thanksgiving morning. So in my house, it's always like a waiting to eat the meal. And so you're kind of wanting to pace yourself through the morning. And in the morning when I wake up and my thoughts are all on Jesus, you know, it's what a way to start the day. And then in addition to that, having come off 10 days of thinking about him and then it reaching kind of a focus there, it's a great time. So we try to put it where it's a convenient thing, where you're not working through a book. You know, we've tried to make it into a 8.5 by 11 brochure type thing that you can just stick in your Bible or stick in a book that you're reading. Easy to produce, easy to, you know, just have in your hands.
So how do you envision people using the guide? Like you said, it's short little pithy things every day, like hardly a couple of sentences, every day. And so how do you envision people using this on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think there's lots of ways you could use it. You know, you could, if you have like where you're sitting down at a table in the day with a family, this would be a great thing to rehearse then, where you could just say, hey, tonight we're thankful for this about Jesus. Maybe let a kid read it, pray together and praise God as you're praying for the meal or something. I'm really hesitating. I don't want to put like legalistic pressure on anybody. There's lots of ways this could be used, and none of them are more right than another.
Right.
So some people are more wired to be nighttime clear thinkers, and some people are wired to be early morning clear thinkers. And I know Jesus got up early in the morning to pray, but yeah, that might not be some of us.
He never slept in once.
Right. He never slept in once. Right. Even when he was exhausted. So yeah, there's some of you that are morning people. That's great. And you might just read a verse. You might read that verse, read that statement, and then just pray a prayer of praise. It might be personal. It might be a personal application. It might be that you're getting together with someone else and you can just rehearse this with them. Do you know what Jesus has done? I just want to remind you of this today. I want to encourage you in this reality.
There was 1 year where, this is maybe a shame to me, but I left the gratitude guide in my car, but I guess maybe in God's providence, that's where it was, because then every day I looked at it and I was like, oh, what's the thing for today as I'm driving?
Right.
Sure. And then I could just, hey, as I'm driving, I'm going to put, you know, turn the radio off, you know, set my phone to the side, which I guess I should put my phone to the side every time I'm driving, but that's irregardless.
A different podcast. Yeah.
Right. but then, you know, I can meditate on that 10-minute drive wherever I'm going on what I'm thankful for and just sit there and praise. So there's a lot of different ways, right,
We'll share it like on Instagram, and we'll share it on the Twitter feed, and that'll go to Facebook as well. So I know anybody that's a teenager listening that is on social media, they'll probably want to share those, and that might be their way of meditating about it. But I would encourage you just to linger there. Don't just share this and say, oh, I've done my duty.
You know, make sure there's a picture of a coffee cup.
Oh, right. Yeah.
As you send that, right?
Make this uber devotionally. So you want to have a coffee cup. You want to have the picture, you know,
on your balcony.
Stage your Bible, you know, all this stuff. Yeah. But use that and take time to actually think about Jesus. Do we want to talk a bit about just what our thoughts are on the gratitude guide for this year, why we ended up where we did?
And I might add just quickly on Luke mentioned a deeper reality. I think it's a more unshakable reality too, or gratitude. So I was not really in the life of Crestview last year when this guide was out. We were still fairly new, just coming in. But it's an unshakable reality in that the holidays are not always what we expect. So last Thanksgiving, my wife and I celebrated Thanksgiving in a hospital bed, grieving the loss of our unborn child. And so it was a way different experience than we had expected. We had plans to spend it with family, and in the midst of that, it's the realities of Christ and what he's done is unshakable. And so I'm excited for that guide as we come upon that anniversary. I'm sure it'll be tough. But there's hope in him, and there's gratitude to be had in the cross and what Christ has done for us. So
great word. So this year we were thinking a lot about just our identity in Christ and what he's done for us and who he is. And we landed in Colossians 2, maybe a book of the Bible that centers us more in Jesus than any other book, but they all do. Every story's kind of whispering his name. And in Colossians 2, 6 through 8, or 6 and 7, really, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught. And then that caveat is added, abounding in thanksgiving. So we've received Jesus, we're walking in him, and as a follower of him, abounding in thanksgiving is kind of the way we tread life in this world. And so the rest of the passage, really, the rest of Colossians 2 and into chapter 3 gets at that. And so we want to orient people to that picture of what God has done and how Jesus is more satisfying than even like practices and even good things, that he's the ultimate one that we're centering in. What are some thoughts you have about?
Yeah. How many times in the rest of Colossians chapter 2, it says in him. Mm-hmm. So all of these things, that all these benefits and the blessings are all because we are united with Jesus. We are one with him. So because he has experienced those things, because he has those things, we have them as well. So every single day you're going to see in the gratitude guide some aspect where it says in him. So you've been filled in him, you've been buried with him, you were raised with him, made alive together with him. So having disarmed the rulers and authorities in him. So all of this, it's just, we're going to be just steeped in meditating on the identity and the unity that we have in Jesus. And it all culminating on that final day, Thanksgiving morning, where we set our mind now on things that are above, because Christ, who is my life, appears, you're also going to appear with him in glory.
Yeah.
And we're so thankful that we have our eternal future is secure because of what Christ has done.
Yeah.
We don't have to, there's no doubt. There's no worry. There's no anxiety. It's sure. So
we were recently teaching on, you know, what it means to be in Christ with students. And we had some students, didn't we, Andrew, that kind of a real kind of fuzzy on what does it even mean to,
unity,
what does it even
Christ.
Mean to be in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think another part of that, I mean, just think about your identity being in Christ. And just like Luke said in all these texts, you know, there's so many ways that being in him isn't just like something that is real specific in one way. It's so multifaceted. It's like a diamond that and so what we're trying to do really during this Thanksgiving season is we're trying to turn this diamond, turn this brilliant jewel of who Jesus is, like a lot of different ways so that you can see his glory beaming in all these different ways. And that draws your heart up into worship. And it might draw your heart out in repentance too. I mean, there might be things as you see how brilliantly glorious he is that you might realize, oh, I'm like Peter when he met Jesus on the seashore after the great catch, you know, like, away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You know, that we realize that we don't measure up to who he is, but all this that he's done to make us acceptable in his sight, and the hope we have in the gospel, it's such good news. And so we just want to keep basking in that and growing into that. So yeah, any other words on this gratitude guide? What else comes to mind? Anything?
Yeah, I'm thankful that, I guess how ironic, I'm thankful. Yeah. I'm thankful that we get to be thankful.
Yeah,
right. No pun intended.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that we get to produce this, that we get to set our affections on Christ, get to center on there, all the while the craziness of life, just taking those 2-3 minutes out, how important that is to our own soul.
Yeah. And I would say too, like we say every week, you know, there are probably people that will listen to this who might very well be in a position like, are you kidding me? I can barely open my Bible right now. I'm just going, life is beating me down so hard.
Yeah.
And we would just appeal to you, man, there is a fountain. There is, there is joy to be found in Jesus. And we're crafting this thing. It's not going to take half a day to work through this, although you could probably meditate on this half a day. Just read a verse and just center your thoughts on Christ and the hope that can give you, the encouragement that can give you, no matter what trial you're facing in life. And, you know, I think we probably have a lot of listeners who are tempted with prosperity too, that, you know, there's nothing seemingly going askew in their life. Mm-hmm. And just being reminded of, you know, how necessary Christ is for you to even have these blessings. That God could be pouring his wrath out on your life right now, and he would be perfectly just to do that. But instead, he's chosen to show you mercy through his son. That should humble us, and it should draw us, that for us as believers, this should be the greatest of times. So,
and I want to say one more thing, and that's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that he has called us out of darkness into light, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us. So yes, it is good for our soul. Yes, it's good for us to meditate on us. But man, my prayer is that also this would just overfill and this would come out in your mouth. Like as you're going out and as you're talking with people, hey, I'm just so thankful for this thing that I meditated on today.
Yeah.
This aspect of Christ. And you're speaking it to your family, you're speaking it to coworkers, to neighbors. This is the joy should well up.
Yeah.
Out of you, and that thankfulness should just explode out of your mouth.
Yes, right.
So don't let it land just on you. Yes, let it land on you. But yeah,
that reminds me of you know, the most classic text. I'm gonna pull up my scripture so I can read it.
Yeah, we can hear the pages.
The old 100th. This is good radio here in the pages turn. A psalm for giving thanks. So this will be maybe our note to end on. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, right? Yes, it's not just one individual person, but it's
that's
all
right.
The earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love, his covenant mercies endure forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we come up against the edge of our time. Thanks, Phil and Luke, for encouraging us with this, what is ultimately a devotional guide, not our devotion towards God, but rather his devotion to us. And we're excited. This will be available on the website, and I think we can print off paper copies, however you need to get a hold of it. But we encourage you to step into this with us as we approach Thanksgiving, and that our hearts would be full of gratitude to God. So that's the end of our time. Thank you for joining us today on the Flipside Podcast. We'll catch you next time.